what really made that town. You know, the Wienerstube and the Joiner's Table, which is sort of what we're in, sort of trying to incorporate here with this conversation. That was community, and I feel like that's it's become a commodity instead of a community. And I feel like I don't think folks know what that means. You know, like when we talk about community, what are we talking about? I feel like a lot of folks have paid for it, but they don't know what that means. And you have to give in order to get. You know what I mean? And it feels like times are changing, not just necessarily in Aspen, but everywhere. I mean, I sense a lot of change here in Portland from when I got here. I got here in '89, and that real artsy, cool, funky Aspen world that existed there existed right here in Portland, and I just so happened to get right into that. And so it was very an interesting step from one into the other for me, you know? And I feel like that's one of the biggest things that's missing is the understanding of what community really is. It's more than just showing up.
And I think, well, you see the contrast, you know, when you come back and visit Aspen, you know, and I split my time between here and the business in Bozeman, and it's really we love both worlds, right? I love, you know, the mountains around here, the skiing around here, the things that I love to do, no one can change, right? You just got to be able a little more clever how you navigate around so you don't get exposed to things that kind of bring you down. I don't expect to get the kind of community, that thing that you're talking about that we experienced 30 years ago, right, today. I wish it was. I wish there were little, and there are little pockets to you. You know, we all still have. You know, I got friends I grew up with that are still around when I don't see them enough. But when we see each other, it's like exactly like we left each other at 18, you know? And so there, and you get little shots like that. But it's not like I can go, you know, we can go into the Wienerstube and join that table and catch up on life, right? I mean, that's where the decision makers were always. And you know, pay tribute to Klaus and Pete Donnelly and all the folks that were there. That doesn't exist. And Hickory House was another place like that, or La Cocina, or Steak Pit. I mean, all those places were those other places. And they, I think what changed so much is, as and Dad said this probably after 20 years after he came, probably in the 80s or a little later. He said, you know, it was, or he said this, you know, it was so cool when he came. So he with a family of three, and those guys were all just barely getting by. But you know, you go to the Red Onion, and on the bar was the guy that owned the biggest house to the ski instructor. What, it didn't matter. We all were on the same level, and we all were here for the same thing, right? We dug it. We love the mountains. We love, and that is what has changed now, right? I mean, it's just people come not for this, necessarily for this. It's much more metropolitan, and I guess that's just progress. It is sad to when it happens at such an accelerated pace, you can lose the soul, right? Because something needs to retain the
Well,
culture of its town.
it for me, I feel like we're talking about. See, I remember there was sort of a traditional thing we did. You know, when World Cup came, there were things. There was, you know, Winter Skol. There were things that happened that just were sort of traditional, and everybody just sort of did that. Now it's not quite the same. You know, I mean, when the rugby players would come and do the little float, and we'd be throwing snowballs or water balloons, depending upon what season it was. That was the community. That was the Norman Rockwell part of Aspen. And I feel like it's becoming more, you know, I remember when we sold in 92. And when we sold our place and kind of our footprint left, it felt to me like folks were like, oh, that's really cool. We could live here and we could have this place and we could do this. And so they came in and bought homes and places. They bought what we were and what we did. But the problem was is that you had to do that. It wasn't like you could just buy it and all of a sudden that's your lifestyle. You kind of had to be there and do that stuff and do the meetings and get up in the morning and do this stuff and all that, you know. And I felt like that kind of changed. And then when those people couldn't quite handle it, the even more wealthy folks came in. And so it became more of a stopping ground than it became a community. You know, in other words, it's like big, huge Warner Brothers executives come to a little think tank that one executive owns, and they talk about stuff, and then they take off. And that's not really contributive to the community atmosphere. You know, it becomes a Davos, which is kind of cool, but it is different from the way it's set up. You know, it's like looking at Warren Miller movies and looking at how Warren Miller operated in the beginning and how Warren Miller became a film thing and did a lot more than just that and became an industry, you know?
Yeah, and I think what you said is it turned over two or three times from that period, right?
Yeah.
And so when it happens that quickly, right, it's no wonder we are, you know, that's the consequence of where we are today. It's from that. And so I think that there's, you know, people's, what's your objective? Why do you come to Aspen? I think you would have a laundry list of what excites people, why they come here. And also as you mentioned, growing up, there were like these key events that happened that kind of were the cornerstones of those seasons throughout the year. Right. Well, now there's hundreds of events, right, of crazy, right, you know, I mean, world class level, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think, you know, it's kind of, you just get blurred. There's so many coming at you. What stands? I mean, how does World Cup even kind of hold its own with some of the,
you're right,
amazing stuff? So, and yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because I feel like part of why I want to do these talks is because, yeah, I write about folks in the book and I mentioned all the things and stuff. And that was, it's sort of to try to capture that. But I feel like what really gets the next level is these kind of conversations, because in a way you can read in the pages, but when you hear, you can really feel. And it almost feels like the podcast approach gives the book a little bit more backstory and a little bit more of a connection of those folks that I'm talking to. And a lot of them are still around. So it isn't as if this isn't around in Aspen. It's just that it's been kind of pushed into the corners. You know what I mean? And so I feel like the people that are there could contribute. It could be part of it, could open up those folks and let them do that stuff, you know? And I feel like it's like the film festival, from what I hear, is sort of gone down because it doesn't have, started with Dee Dee Brinkman and Koner and a bunch of women that decided they wanted to have a film festival. That spirit, that's what makes the energy. They were sitting there in their house watching these movies. Which ones do we bring in? Sounds a lot like Sundance. That's how that started, you know? And
right.
And it feels to me like that part,
yeah,
of the community is something that I feel like when you have someone that comes from Chicago or comes from LA, they don't really aren't thinking about that. They're thinking about board meetings and big executive, and am I going to fly this artist over here so that we can do this commercial and this, you know what I mean? It's a different way of thinking than, hey, let's just put up a screen in our backyard and watch these movies and curate a festival. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you look at the response to your guys' book, right? I mean, the Explorer. I mean, you couldn't get enough people in there. They were just hungry for that, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it had brought everybody out, the tribe that still exists here that wants that. I mean, you got, and that's, you know, you look at still the nuggets, the jewels around town, the thrift shop, the gals that, you know, I mean, these key plays. I mean, the ski club, I look at, you know, Michael, younger brother Michael and Jono, these guys that they've got, right, 55 years of experience going through that program. So they are connecting, keeping that thing, you know, with the history of that alive. And I think there's some other organizations, obviously, that have the same thing. And that's a shining light that at least there are some of those things keeping that story alive and connecting all of them. I mean, you don't want to live in the past either, but
no,
you want to
totally
keep that, right?
I feel like we appreciate and respect the past so that we can create a better future. And how we connect with folks, I think, is a big thing. And I think we have so many things coming at us. You know, I mean, obviously us kids got introduced to technology really early on in Aspen, which is weird because of Nick DeWolf, you know? Yeah. And I mean, you're talking the guy who, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people have no idea. He was the guy that did all that stuff. I mean, Google Maps. I don't know if you remember watching that little blue van with the big old periscope thing hanging out, but that was started in Aspen, and it was started in Aspen because it was a small area. There was a plateau neighborhood area, so they could get elevation in different areas, and it was a small enough place. So you had a bunch of MIT students Wow. come over there and sort of create that stuff. And we were in the middle of all that stuff. You know, the fountain, if you got online, this was in, what, 79? I think, or 80, you could go online, which most people didn't have computers at that time, but you could go online and you could control the fountain. He had it set up, so even back then, you could get online. If you had your dial-up modem, you could go on there and you could sequence the fountain to do what you wanted it to do. That kind of, it's unique to be involved, like you say, in the level of skiing and also that, all at the same time. You know, it just, to me, it felt like that's more of that magic that I'm talking about. It's just crazy people being brought together in one place, which is, to me, was just so, that's part of why I wanted to write that book, was because I wanted to show people, wait, this is still here, you know?